Well, good morning.
Good morning. Preach the word.
Thank you. I was wondering what I should speak on today. Going back and forth between a few things. Just seemed like nothing was coming together. And I was over at Jim's house yesterday, and he and I have been talking a great deal about 1 Peter, about our lectureship. That's going to be, or the lectureship that's going to take place up in Fairbanks, because I'm going to be able to speak up there. That'd be great. Be nervous about it, but that's okay. And he said, Bill, why don't you just speak on what you're speaking on up in Fairbanks? Most of the people aren't going to be there anyway, so it's not going to make that big of a difference. Well, as I started looking at it, I thought, well, you know, as I've been looking over the text in 1 Peter 2 that we're going to be studying in-depthly at the lectureship, I've just been reading over the book of 1 Peter over and over and over again, and I've got this theme that keeps jumping out at me. Do you have an idea about what that theme might be? Gary gave us a clue just a minute ago. Rejoicing in the salvation that God has given to you. And there are some things that in our life, whenever we have joy for the salvation that God has given to us, there are some things that it produces around us. And I want to go into that a little bit. But the reason I want to bring this to you is because we should know as Christians, if you are a blood-bought child of God, you should know that you should be joyful. Your life should be overwhelmed with joy. That's not saying that hard times aren't going to come. That's not saying that you're not going to have tears that fall. But in your actions in life, your heart should be filled with joy in the Lord. We as Christians should know that since we're saved, there is something so much greater for us in mind. And we can have comfort in that and be free to be as joyous as we want. For instance, one of the first things that is gained by joy.
Glory.
Glory. Yes, Michael. Joy. Is that our joy glorifies God. It glorifies the Lord. If you'll look in 1 Peter 1, the first thing that Peter says after introducing himself and stating who he's writing to, he says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." God has given us an inheritance. He has given us a living hope. He has given us salvation through our faith. And because of that, Peter says, "Blessed be God. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of the things that He's done for us." In our lives, when we live with the knowledge that God has given us salvation, Our joy should be such that we give praise to God. He says, verse 6, in this salvation that's given to you, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That salvation that we've given, whenever we're living our life here, we rejoice and it gives God glory because He saved us whenever we were lost. Yesterday, we had a nice get-together over the house. I wasn't there. It was mostly a bunch of ladies. All a bunch of ladies, except for a couple of young guys. But I tell you, I came home last night, and my bedroom was full of bags and boxes and things for my child that's not even here yet. There was a couple of things for Amanda, you know, some chocolate here and, you know, such. Has my child done anything to deserve all of those gifts that were given yesterday? She hasn't even been born yet. All she's done is grow for a little while and kick Amanda and, you know. I mean, we've got a lot of joy out of watching the progress of this. But she didn't deserve any of the kindnesses that you showered upon us yesterday. And when you selflessly gave to us, I want to praise you for that. I want to thank you. Because what you've blessed us with is something that we couldn't have done ourselves. And we're grateful. And you, and as we, I didn't know more than walk in today, and I've talked to a couple of people who had given us things, and I want you to know how grateful we are for your support and your gifts. But you know what? God's given us something that's so much greater than that. And if I can be happy and joyful and thankful and grateful to you who've given us some things for our baby, how much more grateful, how much more joyful should I be towards God who found me as a sheep that was going astray and brought me near to Him by the sacrifice of His own Son. You see? The joy that we show in our life because of what God has given us gives Him glory. Hallelujah. God's great. But then the second thing that we find in this passage, I'm going to go down a little bit down to verse 22 in chapter 1. The second thing that we find is that our joy grows our faith. Not only does it glorify God, but it grows our own faith. Let's read verse 22. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God. Did you catch that? You have been born of an imperishable seed, and that seed is the living I like football. And to tell you the truth, whenever I first came up here to Alaska, I was a Georgia football fan a little bit. But as I've become separated from the things that I knew whenever I grew up, I've become more interested in it. It's helped remind me of things from my past or from where I grew up, and it's helped keep me in touch with things. But and the more I've started to enjoy being a fan of Georgia football, the more I've wanted to know about it. And so I start learning some of the players' names, and over the past few years I've, you know, gained a knowledge about a great deal of those things, and I've learned about in not only them, but because of the people who they're playing, I want to know a little bit more about the people who they're going up against. So I do a little research to find out what they're going to be fighting up against. So I got to learn a little more about not only them, but their opponents, right? Because I'm a fan. And I'm continually growing in that, by the way. Georgia is number 2 this year. And hopefully they'll be number 1 by the end. But at any rate, whenever you are excited and joyful about what God has done for you, an automatic response to that is that you want to learn more. You desire to learn about this thing that makes you so happy. This thing that gives you such comfort and peace. And whenever you go into a difficult time in your life, whenever you are struggling with some situations that are existing around you that you have no control over, you can dive into God's Word. Know that He has given to you an inheritance that this world can't touch, that no power in this universe can mar, and it will never fade away, and it's reserved for you when you get done with this walk. And you can have comfort in knowing that this isn't the end. That the end is salvation for your soul. And you can grow in that. You can grow in that wall. Just like a newborn baby grows over the months and years to adulthood, we as Christians, seeking that sincere milk of the Word, that sustenance that can keep us going, we will grow in our faith. And show the joy that we have for the Lord in our life. Which brings us to the third point. The third point is showing our joy is evangelistic. If you have been saved by the blood of Christ, when you show your joy in what the Lord has done for you, people around you will see things in your life and wonder, what makes you so happy? What gives you such comfort? Why do you smile all the time? Why do you have such joy in your life? And Peter says in chapter 3, to sum up, verse 8, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Since we're going to inherit a blessing, you need to give a blessing to those who are around you. And as we go down, verse 14, But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence, and keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong. For Christ also died for sins, once and for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God. Having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. You see, when we act as Christians the way that we should, showing our joy around us, even in heaviness of times, even when trials are going on around us, even whenever people are being mean to you, when you are giving blessings instead and joyfully conducting your life in the way that God wants you to, people will see your behavior and wonder, what does he have to be so happy about? And when he does, verse 15 says, you have a chance to share your hope with them. The joy that we have in our life glorifies God. It instills within us a desire to grow, but also it is evangelistic in the sense that you will share your hope with those who are around you. And now, I want you to know, there have been some really difficult situations going on here in the congregation, and we've had some families that have lost loved ones, and it has been very difficult for a great number of folks around, and we have the opportunity to rally around those who are fallen and help share the joy that God has for us. Help share the salvation that he's given freely to us. And I want to tell you, honestly, I have not been as joyful of a person as what I should have. I've let things in this life weigh me down. But I stand before you here today, and I want to make a commitment to you that I will actualize the joy that God wants me to have in my life. I promise to you that I will strive to be more joyful. And now I ask you, if you are a Christian and you have been forgetting what God has done for you, and you want to recommit yourself to God and show your joy to those around you, if you will gather with me today, I challenge you in that. And for those of you who have not yet tasted the sweet grace that God has for us, if you have not found God gracious to you, if you have not accepted that Christ is your Savior, he's the only one who can help you. If you've not learned about him and been buried with him in baptism, do this today. Do this today. For there's no better time. There's no better time. For those of you who are Christians who want to commit to me, or for those of you who want to commit your life to the Lord, today, come down front as we stand and sing.